It's a short chapter, so we will read through it first. Now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he was said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shalt thou touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast not eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, and dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. For Adam also and for his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. Let us look to the Lord for a moment. Our loving Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the privilege of being gathered together with thy people about thy word. We just pray that as the word goes forth to both speaker and hearer alike, that the Spirit of God might speak to us, that we might hear and learn and observe wonderful things from the truths of thy word. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. Now we know if we were to, we needn't look to them, I think I can still quote them. And the Lord speaking, he could say, Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. The scriptures. That means all of the scriptures. And then in another place he said, Lo, I come, parentheses, in the volume of the book it is written of me, close parentheses, to do thy will, O God. The volume of the book, that means all of the book. And then we find in Numbers, God is not man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Another verse, or verses, all scripture, not some of them. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I would like to look back in the second chapter a moment before we get into the third chapter. We find that all scripture points to Christ. Well, here's a portion here, in the seventh verse of chapter 2. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. What would that be a type of? The first Adam. But it's also a picture of the last Adam. He's made of the dust of the earth. That speaks of humanity. But what did he do? What did God do? He breathed into him. That speaks of divinity. So here we find the divine and the human combined. Adam was to represent God. And of course we know the first Adam fell. And there was another portion I wanted to mention. Over here, the latter part of the same chapter. Let's see, let's start with verse 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good for man that he should be alone. I will make him an help meet, or a help fit for him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Now, Grant implies here it was Adam would see what God would call him. That's very possible. But the way it's written here, it looks like it's what Adam actually called him. Now, either way, makes no difference. But for Adam there was not found an help fit for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. The deep sleep would speak to us of what? The tomb of Gethsemane. The picture of the death of Christ. The first man is a picture of the last Adam, the last man. And then we find that the taking forth of the rib from him, and he builded a woman. And what did it say a little later on? He brought the woman onto the man. Now the church, the body, the bride of Christ, is still being formed. But we find in that case, we find that the Lord will bring to himself a bride without spot, but a perfect bride. I believe that's in Ephesians 2:24 or something like that. But Christ is going to present himself, that perfect bride. In this case, God the Father, or God, triune God, really, it's Elohim, presented to Adam his wife. But the Lord Jesus Christ will present to himself his bride. So here we find a couple of pictures of Christ. There was another one I was trying to think of. They shall be one flesh. What was it? I got it right on the tip of my tongue and I can't get it. Maybe it'll come back to me as we go through the third chapter. And the serpent, and by the way, from what we gather, the serpent evidently was an upright creature. Whether it had legs or not, we don't know. And he was a beautiful creature, and even today, I know Mary, she loathes even the thought of the serpent, but people think of the serpent as being slimy. The serpent is not slimy. And watch his movements. They're very, well, you could call them subtle, certainly they are, but very supple, very agile. And the serpent was considered the most beautiful in the garden. But then he was a picture of who? Lucifer, son of the morning. But prior to this time, Adam didn't know anything about Lucifer. Adam knew about the animal. Adam was made lord of the world, if you would. And as we go on, we find that he loses his lordship over the world. He was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said. You could actually call that a lie. But he was putting suspicion in the woman's mind. Brothers and sisters, when we fall, it didn't happen simultaneously. There had to be doubts. There had to be something in the mind before that fall. It didn't just happen all at once. There's something that led up to it. So we find the doubt in the woman. And he touches, he knows just what point to touch. In like manner, when Satan deals with us, he knows our weaknesses. Not only does he know our weaknesses, he knows when we're at our weakest. And so he comes to the woman, and he makes this statement. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. What tree was in the midst of the garden? Two trees, really. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There were two trees there. She just makes out like it's one tree. And she also adds to that, ye shall not eat of it, and neither shalt thou touch it. God never said anything about them touching. And then she even softens that, lest ye die, or that ye might die. That isn't what the Lord said. If we were looking at the 17th verse, the latter part of it, or the second chapter, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There's no lest or but or if about it. Now, some might scoff at that, but Christ or God, the Lord God, said that they would die the moment they ate of that fruit. They die. Most of us here know they did. Prior to that time, in the cool of the day, what took place? God came down and walked with them in the garden and talked. We find that that didn't take place anymore after this. We find in John, the third chapter, three times over, you must be born again. What does that imply? It implies death. They died. They were alive physically. They were dying physically. By the way, I think Adam was what, Al may be correct me on this, he was 930 years old when he died, but he died. You will find only two that didn't die, Elijah and Enoch. And they were examples for something else. But they died spiritually. When you and I are dealing with the lost, so many times we get provoked, we get aggravated, we just almost throw your hands up. It's like wasted time. But if you want to preach and get an example of what's taking place, you go out here to the graveyard and you preach to the dead. And see how many answers you get from them. When you and I are witnessing, we are witnessing to those that are spiritual corpses. Spiritually, they're dead. And only as the Holy Spirit deals with them and they open their heart to them, to those truths, are they going to listen to us. Only then are they going to trust Christ as Savior. But she said, lest you die. God said, thou shalt surely die. And then the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, putting more doubt in her mind. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. But that isn't that like the rest of all of us? We want something more. We always want a little bit more than what you've already got. And that's like these people say, well, when I make good in business, that shall be sufficient. But you know, the moment they make good in business, they want a little bit more business. And there seems to be no end of it. And the same principle right here. They wanted more. They thought God was holding something back from them. This is what Satan was implying. That he was holding something back. Now, this is a created being telling created beings. What is a marvel to me is how that Satan's Lucifer, son of the morning, the highest, if you will, of all the angels, thought that he could take the place of the Creator. It's the same principle as you and I getting a little piece of wood. Robbie was mentioning about the carved images. We carve a little image, and man bows down to it. What should be the case if there's any bowing? The image should be doing the bowing. Because you were the Creator. Satan, with all of his knowledge, all of his power, and you and I can't stand up to Satan as far as power is concerned. In fact, what did Michael the archangel say? The Lord rebuke thee. As powerful as Michael was, it wasn't his place to rebuke Satan. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. What's that telling us? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And when you stop and think, when you fall into sin, whether it's anger or saying something, or doing something, or not doing something that should be done, ultimately it comes right down to the same thing. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He uses the same things over and over, different ways, very subtle, but nonetheless, that's what it is. Therefore, in the middle of the verse, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. But we find that Adam knew what he was doing. She was beguiled. F.W. Grant has this statement. It took more to bring the woman down than it did the man. And it wasn't that she was pulled down because she didn't know what she was doing. She was beguiled. She was fooled. She was deceived. He knew what he was doing. But it was the allurement of the woman, his wife. She asked. The woman has a lot of control in the household.
The man is the head of the house, but with allurement, the woman will control the man. And that's why, brothers and sisters, in Scripture, when it mentions those that are to be dressed modestly, who does it mention? The women. Now, man should be modest too. But the man's, what gets him is what he sees, thinks. That's what catches his eye. The woman, it's more subtle. But literally, it took less to pull Adam down. Now, another type of Christ. This you don't, how should we say, use it in trying to witness to the law. Adam, and right at this point, is a picture of Christ. Eve is a picture of the church. Adam knew what he was doing. He knew the consequences if he should take of that fruit. But he loved his wife. The Lord Jesus Christ, not like Adam, he was absolutely perfect in every sense. He couldn't sin. It was an impossibility to sin. He took our sin placed upon him, but not in him. But he loved the church. And he took the consequences of keeping that church. And that consequence was Calvary, where he paid the price. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. What's that a picture of? All of us, think before you were saved, you heard the gospel, what's one of the first things you're going to do? I was just a little boy. I was 9 years old. When I get better. When I stop snitching cookies. And how many other little things that you were doing that you shouldn't have been doing. But you know, that didn't improve until after I trusted the Lord as Savior. But that's what they were doing. They covered themselves. But what brought the people, you hear people saying, we heard this yesterday, don't want to bring any argument up over it. Conscience. What did the conscience do? Showed their guilt. It didn't bring them to God. It showed their guilt. And even the heathen have conscience, friends. I used to do a lot more reading than I do today. And you go to places where Christendom has never been introduced. Those people know there is a God. They may have other gods, but they know there's a supreme God. And believe it or not, they know right from wrong. Murderers died. Adulterers died. No question. And they didn't have the book in front of them. That's conscience. But the conscience showed them that they were wrong. So then this is what their works. And how many people try to work their way to heaven? Even in Romanism. All, even those that claim to have trusted Christ as Savior. What do they believe? They have to do penance. They have to have the priest pray for them. And what's the last rites? They have to have the last rites. And my father used to put it to them, what are you going to do if the priest doesn't get there before you die? Something to think about. But you and I have a high priest that has taken care of anything.
We found, too, that, well, that's a little later on. And this is what he said. Well, let's read verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God said unto Adam, Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?
Now, don't you think the Lord knew where he was? The Lord knew about him. The Lord knew where he'd be before he created the universe. This is said that you and I might understand what's taking place. The man and the woman were hiding from the Lord. They're sinners.
And what does Adam say? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid.
In Isaiah 59, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. They had no peace in their heart. The moment this took place, there was no more peace. The only way we get peace is by placing it in Christ's hand.
So he was afraid. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not?
Now, of course the Lord knew that. And even though he was hiding behind the trees and hiding behind his apron, God still knew where he was. In fact, our God saw him. Whether he was walking in the garden right where Adam could see him or not, the Lord saw him. Just like when the Lord was speaking, when they brought Nathanael to him, he said, An Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. And where did Nathanael, where did he come from? Another town. And he said, "How? I don't know you. How do you know about me? Before thou camest, I forget just how it's worded, before he came there, I saw thee when thou wast beneath the fig tree." And what was the pious Jew doing at that time? He was in prayer. Nobody saw Nathanael but the one he was praying to. And Nathanael essentially said the same thing as Thomas, My Lord and my God. There's only one that knew what he was doing. So the same situation here. God is walking in the garden. Adam can't necessarily see him unless he's peeking through the leaves. The Lord saw him. The Lord was right beside him. Remember, the Lord is omnipresent.
And this isn't this something common that takes place here? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest me. But what was he literally doing? He was blaming God. In other words, God, it's your fault for giving me this woman. Didn't come right out and say it, but that's what's being said. The woman that thou whom thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Yes, but he could have said no. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, Here we go again. The serpent beguiled me and I did eat. In other words, she was fooled. Adam didn't say he was fooled. The woman admitted she was fooled. She was deceived. And the Lord said unto the serpent, Now mind you, both of these, he questioned them. He didn't bother questioning Satan. You notice that? He didn't ask Satan at all what he had done. The Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above all every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now when Satan came into the garden and he approached Eve, and ultimately Adam, what happened? He won a victory. But he didn't realize he was being defeated in sin. He was evidently an upright beast, the most beautiful of the garden. And what does the Lord say? Thou on thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. he was degraded even in his success. So you know you can think you have success, but at God's hand, and if you're wrong with God, you're the loser. And I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head. Now, even today, though, a heel wound, normally, unless it gets infected, is not a mortal wound. A head wound, inevitably, is the death sentence. Satan would bruise his heel. The Lord went to Calvary. He gave his life. But what happened? The third day he arose. All predicted. The Holy Scripture fulfilled right to the last jot and tittle. Satan was already defeated. We have a defeated foe that's actually causing us to fall. He's ultimately going to be cast into the lake of fire. Some of us were speaking about this yesterday. Of all the dispensations, as soon as man got his hand into it, he messed it up. The last dispensation, the millennial, Christ is going to rule and reign. People say it's my circumstances. It's my environment. But they're going to have 1,000 years of perfect environment. Then the Lord's going to let Satan loose for a short period, and what's going to happen? You're going to find that the vast majority of them were not Christ to begin with. And they're going to turn on him, and he's going to destroy them. Now, destruction in the case of Scripture never means annihilation. It means separation. Thorns and thistles. The Lord became a reproach for us. He bore the curse. So what was one of the marks of the curse? The thorns. I think it was our brother Harold. Can't think of him. Paisley. He had a sample of one, just almost 8 inches long. That's the type of thorns that were used. And remember, it said they placed it on his brow, but a little later, what did it say? They smote it. They drove it down into his skull. For you and for me. And of course, to this very day, in the sweat, verse 19, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. But you know what's happening? We're getting away from that, aren't we? The older ones can remember here, about the time of the Second World War and Korea, 90% of the men did physical work. And if you do physical work, you do what? You sweat. Now, it's reversed. About 10% do the physical work. The 90% sit in offices, pushing a pencil. So their God says it was good for men to work. And he wasn't just talking about mental work, physical work. And all we have to do is look round about us and see the way our nation's going. Because of what? Ease. Everything's so easy. They have so much free time. Evidently, Eve had some free time. And what, who finds work for idle hands? There's a term, the devil finds work for idle hands. So if we should stay busy, particularly in the things of the Lord and in his word,
Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word. More importantly, we thank Thee for the living Word, the one whom the whole of Scripture portrays, informs us of, teaches us of, and the truths that we learn from it. Certainly there is really no excuse for us, and yet our God knows that we are but flesh that vanisheth away, that the wind taketh away and cometh not again. The Father, in our weaknesses, we find that God will show us strength. We will be strong in our weaknesses if we trust in Himself. We trust that not only those of us here that know Christ as Savior will walk close to Himself and be drawn even closer to Himself, but the Lord's people in every place, by whatever name they call themselves, particularly as the days become darker, we might be more conformed unto His image, that others might see Christ in us. Again, we think of these dear ones that have been laid aside with illness. We ask that it was Thy mind and will that they might be raised up. Think particularly of our dear brother Joe, who is always so faithful. We don't hear much out of him, no matter what the situation, and yet he's there. We think of others that have been even bereaved. We ask that Thou would supernatural blessing in each case. Those that are traveling, that Thou would give them journeys, safe journeys. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen.